Welcome back to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. This is season 2, episode 42, week 24 of the NBA season. I'm Steve St. Pierre. My co-host, Scott Keller, is not with me again this week, but I do want to start off by giving him another shout out. He did wind up winning his Keeper Fantasy Basketball League this year. So huge shout out to him and congratulations. Definitely well deserved. And it's just further proof that this is a fantastic podcast. The two of us know what we're talking about and what we're doing. So if you want to win your basketball leagues, continue to listen, continue to support us, and we appreciate it. Let's go ahead and jump right into our first thing. Name on your paper, first thing. And we're going to start off today's episode by talking about Devin Booker. Detroiter, huge shout out to him. He joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only players in NBA history to have three consecutive games with at least 50 points against a single opponent. So that's huge. This particular instance was against the New Orleans Pelicans. So Booker's definitely had their number, and he's been awesome. He's fun to watch. Just continues to put up accolades, and you know, we're going to see here if Phoenix can go on a real run here and, you know, try to get a championship. You know, we've talked all about them. They built their whole roster around their big three of Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. Yusuf Nurkic, of course, is at center, and you know, they're hoping that he can stay healthy and continue to be consistent for them. Just going to be a lot of fun to watch and see, you know, how deep of a run they can go on in the playoffs here. And speaking of the playoffs, I did want to mention too, so moving forward here, this is going to be our final week where we really focus on the entire NBA regular season. Moving forward after this episode, we're going to continue to just focus on the upcoming play-in tournament and the playoffs. So this will be the last time we really get into like injuries and everything for all the teams and stuff like that. So this was something that Scott bookmarked on Twitter, and I definitely wanted to bring this up. This was really, really cool. The Indiana Pacers used Snapchat AI filters to make it look like LA Lakers fans were crying during the game. And for anybody who hasn't seen this, jump online and check this out because it is hilarious. Just looks really funny, really clever idea. I saw that and I was cracking up. That was awesome. And then we can't not talk about Caitlin Clark and her Iowa Hawkeyes. They beat the defending national champion LSU Tigers in the NCAA women's tournament. They won 94-87. Clark had 41 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds. Angel Reese for LSU had a really good game. She finished with 17 points and 20 rebounds, but did foul out of the game. We knew it was going to be an awesome matchup. I actually forgot to watch it, so I'm kind of kicking myself for that. I forgot that they were on last night, April 1st. I wish I could say it was an April Fool's joke, but I'd be lying. But yeah, great matchup. I'll try to catch a replay of it or something because, yeah, I definitely wanted to watch that. And we knew the two of them were going to go at it, and it was going to be a really good battle. So awesome for both of them. Awesome seasons. And, you know, we're going to continue to talk all about, especially Caitlin Clark. In fact, the next thing I wanted to mention about her is the Big Three offered her $5 million for this upcoming season to play in the Big Three, which is crazy. She's set to make about $76,000 as a WNBA rookie. So in comparison, obviously, it's a really good deal, really good offer. I don't think she's going to accept it right now. She's got a lot on her plate. It'd be tough to cram in a Big Three season. But I don't have any doubts that she could do it. I think talent-wise, it would be really cool to see her play, you know, with the men in the Big Three and, you know, continue to break down barriers and stuff like that. Yeah, I think we'll see it at some point. I don't think it's going to be this offseason, but at some point I could totally see her playing in the Big Three, or at least a woman playing in the Big Three. And I definitely think it could work. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But that would be fun to watch. Be cheering for it. And let's go ahead and segue right into our WNBA update.
Here's the update.
And this was the piece of news that we've been hinting at for a few weeks now. We've been waiting for it. It finally became official. Brittany Griner did re-sign with the Phoenix Mercury for a one-year deal. So she was the last big-name free agent. So at this point, I think everybody can kind of get ready for the draft here. The WNBA draft is going to be coming up here in a couple weeks. We're going to be focusing on that as well. We'll definitely bring a recap for it and kind of go over at least the top picks, you know, and Caitlin Clark is, you know, fully expected to be the number one pick to the Indiana Fever. Scott and I are both really excited about that. We are talking about going to see a Fever game together this summer with our families. I, for one, am really excited about that, but you know, we all are, we're talking about it. It's not official yet, but, we'll see how it plays out and we'll keep you posted on that as well. Let's go ahead and just get right into our news and notes here. And like I said, this is going to be the last week here that we focus on the entire NBA and just going over all the injuries. We're skipping day to days. Cause you know, like we said, the last few weeks, there's just no point. It just continues to change, you know, by the minute at this point. And like we've been saying, you know, you should be wrapping up your fantasy seasons. If you're still playing, this information will help you here. But obviously, most of us at this point have wrapped things up.
Better luck next year.
Again, Scott and I, we're getting ready to start an NBA playoffs fantasy league through Fantrax. We're going to talk all about that here in a couple weeks when the time comes. But for now, let's get into the injuries. And we're going to start off with some good news on a big name here, Joel Embiid. We talked all about how he was out with the left meniscus surgery. He's expected to return sometime this week. So he's pretty much day to day at this point. And, you know, he should be back. They'll try to ramp him up here, get him ready for the playoffs. So that's exciting. If you're still playing in fantasy, obviously that's huge. If you own him, that's awesome. Congratulations. But in any case, the most important thing, obviously, for the Sixers and for Embiid is, like we said, just that he gets, you know, he proves that he's healthy and can ramp things up, go on a nice run here and bring some momentum into the postseason. Another guy we've been talking about a lot here the last few weeks, Donovan Mitchell for the Cavs. We talked about how he underwent the nasal procedure. He returned March 29th. He's been kind of slow in terms of the shooting. It's been a little off, you know, a little rusty. And that's to be expected. He's been in and out of the lineup, and that's going to continue to be the case. They're going to rest him here down the stretch as they prepare for the playoffs. His teammate, Max Strus, he had been out for a long time with a strained right knee. He returned March 27th, and he's looked okay. You know, he's another one that I think they're going to kind of take their time ramping him up in terms of the minutes. But obviously, if you own those guys in fantasy, just use them as they're playing. If they rest, obviously, put them on an IL plus spot or bench them or do whatever you got to do. Let's shift gears and talk about the Utah Jazz. Lauri Markkanen. We talked about how he's been in and out of their lineup. He's dealing with right shoulder impingement and they've actually shut him down for the rest of the season. And another guy, his teammate, that's probably going to get the same treatment is Jordan Clarkson. He's got back and groin injuries that he's dealing with. He's missed four consecutive games and is probably going to get shut down. So Clarkson's not a guy that I really like in fantasy that much anyways. He's more of a points league kind of guy, just really scoring in threes sometimes. That's really about it for him. Jamal Murray for the Nuggets. This one concerns me. Obviously, the Nuggets are the reigning champs.
Golden Nuggets.
And you know, they're getting ready for the playoffs here, but Murray's got right knee inflammation and he's missed five consecutive games. I believe he's set to miss his sixth game tonight, April 2nd. I haven't seen an update on that, but last I saw, I think he was doubtful. So they're going to take their time. They want to make sure he's 100% healthy, but you know, they do need to get him back and get him ramped up here. So we'll see. A couple updates on some Atlanta Hawks that we've been talking about. Jalen Johnson, he's been dealing with a sprained right ankle. He did return April 1st. You know, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be up and down. He's looked okay, but, you know, they're obviously trying to get him ready here. It does look like they're pretty much a shoe-in for the play-in. So they're obviously going to try to make it past that and get into the playoffs here. So they're going to need Johnson ready to go. One guy who might not be ready to go is Onyeka Okongwu. We've talked about how he's been dealing with a sprained left big toe. He's set to be reevaluated in another 7 to 10 days. So he's likely done for the rest of the regular season.
One in, one out.
We'll see if they can get him back in for the play-in tournament and beyond that if they survive. We talk about this guy every single week, DeAndre Ayton.
That's the one.
He's been dealing with the left elbow tendonitis for the Portland Trailblazers. He did return on March 29th. He's looked good, but like we keep saying, you can't really trust him. You got to just take it day by day. If you're still playing fantasy and you own him, use him when he's in the lineup. But when he's not, you know, do what you got to do. Bench him, cut him, move on. It's a tough situation. Not a guy that I would be trusting, but, you know, if you have him, if he's playing, go ahead and use him. Let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs. They are shutting people down. Devin Vassell, he's got right foot stress reaction. He is out for the rest of the season. Keldon Johnson's dealing with a sprained left foot. He's missed a couple games in a row, but he could easily be shut down. And at this point, I'm expecting it. And then they've also shut down Jeremy Sochan. He's got he's actually having left ankle surgery, so his is pretty legit. Hope that he can take time off here in the off season and recover. Should be able to make a full recovery. Should be okay. But obviously the Spurs are done. You know, they're not doing anything the rest of this year, so they're going to be really cautious with their players. If you're still playing, if you own Victor Wembanyama. He's been awesome. Obviously, we've talked all about him, but, you know, hard to trust anybody on the Spurs right now. You know, just keep your eyes on the news and, you know, best of luck to you here moving forward. Here's a guy we talked about last week, Drew Holiday for the Celtics. He's been dealing with a sprained right shoulder. He returned March 28th. He's looked okay, but he's going to be up and down here. He's another one that, you know, needs time to kind of ramp up. I think he'll be okay for the playoffs, but for the rest of the regular season here, he's going to be really spotty. He's going to be tough to trust moving forward here. And yeah, hopefully they can get him going here because he is a guy that I'll be looking at for our playoff draft. You know, we'll have to see how he and the rest of the Celtics look here as they close out the regular season. But they're a team that I'm expecting to make a big run in the Eastern Conference, so I'm going to be targeting a lot of their players. I'm sure most of us in the league will, so it'll kind of be first come, first serve with them. And then our Pistons, we talked about Cade Cunningham and how he's been managing a left knee injury. I talked about how I was worried he was going to get shut down. Well, he actually returned March 27th, and he's looked really good. I still don't fully trust him, but he's another one that if you're still in fantasy right now and you own him and he's playing, you have to use him. And, you know, just keep a close eye out. You know, if they do rule him out for any games, obviously then you bench him, you make whatever moves you got to make and you keep going. But obviously, you know, take advantage if you've got him, you know, just use him until the wheels fall off, I guess. And then here's a nice positive story here. Mitchell Robinson, he was out for a long time with a left ankle injury that he had surgery on. He returned March 27th. He's going to be real hit or miss. They're going to take their sweet time with him in terms of minutes and ramping things up. He's going to be in and out of the lineup. He's definitely not going to play any back-to-backs or anything like that. So he is not a guy that I'm trusting the rest of this year, whether we're talking about regular season or playoffs. He's just not a guy that I'm going to be looking to target.
No, man, no.
And then we got some more bad news on the Sacramento Kings. We talked last week about how Kevin Huerter has been shut down. Well, now Malik Monk went down with a sprained right knee. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. So basically done the rest of the year unless the Kings make a deep run in the playoffs. Then he could maybe come back, but otherwise he's all done. Obviously, if you're still playing fantasy, you know, you can cut him. He's not going to be back for the regular season, which is too bad because he had a really good year. We talked about how he was a really good streamer and really a guy, you know, probably somebody that got picked up in a lot of leagues and just held on to because he was that good. So one of the better pickups of the year. And yeah, just, you know, shitty news for the Kings. You know, we talked about how they're going to have to start looking at these free agents that are out there. And speaking of which, we'll just get right into transactions. And we're going to start off talking about Marcus Morris Sr. He did officially sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers for the rest of the season. Not a huge surprise at all. The biggest surprise to me was that he signed a 10-day contract initially. I would have thought that they would have just signed him for the whole year. But in any case, they've got him now. He's looked really good, and they need him because, you know, we've talked about how Cavs have been working a lot of players back into their lineup recently, but they've needed bodies. So he's been good for them. Probably not a guy you can really need to worry about or focus on in fantasy at this point, but you never know. I mean, if any of their starters have any setbacks with their injuries or anything like that, he's a guy that could see more minutes. And then Isaiah Thomas, he signed a second 10-day contract with the Phoenix Suns. Definitely rooting for him. He hasn't really played, but, you know, just an easy guy to root for. We talked all about it. You know, definitely keeping our fingers crossed that he can stick around and maybe even help them. You know, we'll see. We'll see what kind of a run Phoenix goes on, like we were saying. And then let's talk about our Pistons again. We've got Chimezie Metu. He wound up signing with the Pistons for the rest of the season. And that's no surprise. We've talked about how since they've shut all these guys down, Metu's a guy that's been getting a lot of minutes and putting up some decent numbers in fantasy. So if you're still playing fantasy, he's a guy you could definitely look at, you know, at least as a streamer. And then today they announced that they've agreed with Jalen Noel on a two-way contract. So that's a good just kind of flyer pickup, you know, for a team that's just, again, looking to get through the rest of the, you know, week and a half we have left here of the regular season and just throw bodies out there and see how they look. Xavier Simpson signed a 10-day contract with the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies also signed Muzina Pereira to a second 10-day deal.
That's all I got, my brother.
And that's going to wrap it up for transactions. So like we said, moving forward now the rest of the way, we're going to just focus solely on the upcoming play-in tournament and the NBA playoffs, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we are going to talk about early pre-rankings for next season. Should be a fun conversation, so stay tuned. Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So, if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle. We are back and ready to talk about one of my favorite topics, early pre-rankings for next season. With me to do so is our good friend and original guest on the pod, Return of the Jinx, Patrick Janka.
Straight up Pat.
Welcome back to Menace Podman. How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thank you. Glad to be back. Glad, congratulations, first off, for winning your league. That's a huge accomplishment. That is probably one of the most competitive leagues around, and you had to pretty much work a second job to win that league.
Yes, I did, but I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem. I won it last year, so it only makes sense for another guy, another basketball lover to take it home this year. So again,
it's a great feeling, but it's definitely, and we've talked about it before, when it's over, you're just like,
oh yeah, for sure. No, it is.
You need like at least a week to recover.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No. And for me, I had a little bit of a disappointing year, losing in both leagues, but that's all right. It was still a lot of fun, and love fantasy basketball, and love everything that comes with it, with the second job and making trades and making moves, wheeling to dealing. It was a lot of fun. Really good year. A lot of people shot up the rankings for me, and really grouped up near the top, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, a lot of players really coming back and showing what they're capable of when fully healthy.
Yeah, and absolutely, and we're not done either. I mean, we're going to get into it, but we're going to be talking in the next few weeks here about our playoff league, and we're going to be doing a draft recap. I might be talking to you about possibly getting involved with that, but
we'll
cross that bridge when we get there. For now, like you said, let's go ahead and get into some rankings for next season. And
absolutely,
you were telling me off air that you got somebody right away that you wanted to talk about, but I'll let you kind of start things off, whichever direction you want to go.
Well, I mean, I'll just kind of go right down. I'll start with who I think that the 1A, 1B that going into next year right now, with not knowing free agency and what these teams are going to look like.
Yeah. But and to be clear, we're talking about 9-cat, right?
Yes, 9-cat, yes. Which I think is the only way to play fantasy basketball is 9-cat.
Agreed.
But I think there's a 1A, 1B, and I wouldn't fight with anyone if they went with the 1B over the 1A. I think that the top two guys going into next year, without a doubt, is Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 1A, 1B in my book. I would take Jokic and then SGA, but I wouldn't be mad if someone took SGA over Jokic. I mean, I've seen a stat somewhere where in Shai's 71 games, he's had 50 or more 30-point games. Come on, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree with you, but I have a 1C as well.
I'm going to guess that you're 1C. Well, I'll let you go with your 1C. I'll tell you who my third overall is this year.
All right. Well, my 1C is Victor Wembanyama.
Okay.
He's not there yet in the rankings, but he's getting there, and he's getting better and better every single month. And obviously, he's a superstar in the making. He pretty much is a superstar already, but he's only going to continue to get better. I mean, obviously, he has to stay healthy and stuff. And we got to see, what the Spurs wind up doing as far as building around him goes. But he's just been an absolute beast. We've talked about him on here the last couple of weeks. And, on the season right now, he is currently ranked number 7 overall per game. He's played in 67 games, which is a pretty big accomplishment for him and for the Spurs, because we knew coming into the season he was going to be held out of a lot of games and just kind of babied, for lack of better words. And he's been incredible. He's been a great fit. He's been awesome in 9-cat, and like I said, just rising and rising.
Oh yeah, no, I have a Wemby in my top 5, but I mean, the season that AD is having, he's in my top 5 too. And the guy that I was talking about, Steve, is Luka Doncic.
Yes, and he's the other one that I was talking about too.
He is my number 3 right now, and then I have AD, and then I have Victor. That rounds out my top 5.
Okay, so we've got pretty much the same guys, just different order. So right now, and it's real close for me with my top 3. But as of right now, I've got Jokic, SGA, and Wembanyama in that order. I've got Luka at 4. I still have Joel Embiid at five, but it's real close, and it's going to continue to kind of fluctuate here. We're going to have to see how he does. You know, he came back today. So, full disclosure, the first half of our episode this week, I recorded by myself April 2nd. You and I are on here now April 3rd. So, Embiid did come back and play last night and look pretty good. But we're going to have to see how he continues to look going into the playoffs. Obviously, though, he's going to be a huge risk moving forward, especially during the regular season. They're going to sit him games. He's going to rest. He does get legitimately injured a lot. So you have to factor all that in. But he's been the unquestioned number one player per game. And it's just really hard to ignore that. But I do agree with you that Anthony Davis is right there as well. And
yeah.
AD is my number six. Those guys could easily be flip-flopped. And I think the biggest thing to say with all of this is that these are all guys that if you want any of them, you basically got to plan on using your first pick to get them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because otherwise they're gone.
I have Embiid at number six, but personally, I don't want Embiid. But the numbers don't lie. Availability is everything in fantasy basketball. Is everything. If you're not available, you could be number one in nine cat per game. But if you only play 50 games, I need you for the 30 other games. Come on now, you know,
yep.
Or 40 games. I need you for the other 30 games. So. Yeah. So availability in my eyes is everything. And Anthony Davis has proven this year that he is willing and able to play through some nagging injuries. If you draft Anthony Davis, be prepared to have game time decision next to his name every single game. That's just what you're going to get with him.
Yep, for sure. And it does matter, too, if you're talking about head-to-head or roto. I think it's a little bit easier to go with Embiid in roto.
Oh, for sure.
If you're doing, like, a roto games cap. But if you're head-to-head, like you said, you're counting on these guys. And then, you know, come playoff time where it matters most, that's when you really need them. And, you know, that's what it all comes down to. If you don't have your top picks available to you, you're at a huge disadvantage. And, quite frankly, you're probably going to lose.
Exactly. Yep. Availability in fantasy basketball is everything.
Nope.
I mean, you can have the top 10 guys in fantasy, but if you only have two of them that play X amount of games, then you're not going to be competitive. You just need your guys. You need your top picks to be there. And Embiid has shown year after year that he's going to miss a significant amount of time. And if you draft him, you better draft smart and get some good value picks in round 2, 3, and 4 to make up for his, you know, 20 games that he's going to miss, 25 games he's going to miss.
Yep. I totally agree.
So where does that put us at? Number 7 now?
Yep.
I mean, this is, you know, 7, 8, 9, you start getting to some of the, let me take that back. I think my 7 is Tyrese Halliburton. I still think he's a top 10 fantasy player. I mean, I believe he's leading the league in assists this year. And he plays in a fantasy friendly, offense in Indiana. Think they get more shots up than anyone else in the league. So
sounds about right.
He's my number 7 guy.
Yep. Same here. And he's been incredible. Like you said, I believe he's leading the league, 11 assists per game. He's currently sitting at number 10 in 9 cat per game. And you know, we've talked about it all the time. When you're starting your team, you want to try to get either point guard or big men. You know, they're the most important position. And, you know, if you can get a stud at either of those spots, that's a great way to start your draft. So I totally agree. I have Halliburton at my 7th spot as well. And we've talked about this a little bit on the pod, but you and I have talked about this a lot. The way that I like to rank, usually if it's not too obvious, I like to just take a group of guys that are similarly positioned and like similar expectations. And I pretty much just group them together and I say, okay, between this chunk of players, I want to try to get one of these guys. So I've actually got a couple of guards that have kind of ranked with Halliburton. I've got Donovan Mitchell at number 8 and I've got Kyrie Irving at number 9. And I kind of see both of those guys as, you know, like first round, you know, start my team off with a, you know, an elite guard. That's kind of how I view all three of those guys. And I'm cool with taking any of them.
No, pick. I think at that point in the draft where you're looking at 7, 8, 9, if you miss out and getting one of those top centers, if you miss out on Embiid, Wemby, Jokic, then if you're that far back in the first round, taking a guard or even doubling down and taking two guards with the first two rounds and then trying to, you know, then you would be – Because you'd be locking down your guard position, and then you can focus on big men down the road. I mean, we haven't even talked about some of the other big men that have that will probably be available at the end of the second round, beginning of the third round.
Yeah, and so. We've talked all about how with position eligibility and stuff, especially if you're on Yahoo, you know, a lot of guys have center eligibility, and that's a huge bonus.
Yep.
You can find guys throughout the draft, but point guards go real quick.
They dry up fast.
They dry up fast, and the elite ones especially, they go real quick. So, if you don't get a point guard with your first couple of picks, you're screwed.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. I mean, and so those guys that you have grouped together, I'm fine with that being the top five. I mean, you can't overlook another guy, availability is everything, and that's Steph Curry. He's still the best shooter. He's got to be right there at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, in my opinion. He is totals in Yahoo right now. He missed some time.
Yeah, he's only played 69 games so far. Yeah.
So I actually don't see him. Where is he on? Do you have it pulled up, Steve?
His per game. He's at number 30.
30.
So
I got totals pulled up right now, and he's at number 17 on totals.
Yeah, it's because he's, you know, 69 games. I mean, you know, in comparison, some of the other guys that he's at per game, he's near Trae Young. He's only played 51 games. Desmond Bane, he's only played 42. So in comparison, he's going to be a lot higher in totals. But per game, he's only at number 30. And I mean, his numbers aren't bad at all by any means. Like you said, I mean, he's the best shooter in the league. He's averaging almost 5 3-pointers a game.
Yep.
He's averaging over 26 points. He's averaging 93% from the free throw line with over 4 attempts a game. He's still getting assists. He's got 5 assists, 4.3 rebounds. I mean, he does everything. His defensive numbers have gone down, and that's not a huge shock. You know, he's getting older. He's got Chris Paul with him now. So he's not even averaging a steal. He's at 0.7, just 0.3 blocks. He's obviously not blocking any shots.
Yeah.
But his percentages have gone down a little bit. He's only at 45% from the field right now, and that's with almost 20 attempts. So it's not horrendous, but it's not really that good either.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, just whatever. I mean, he's taking 20 shots. And on that team, we've talked about that team, how they've had guys in and out of the lineup. You know, Draymond's getting texts and suspensions every other week, it seems.
Team's not very good right now either.
No, they're not good in real life. I mean, they're struggling. They're trying to make the play in here.
Yeah.
It's between them and the Houston Rockets for that last spot, and it's going to come down to the wire. And, yeah, I mean, they're getting older as a team. You know, Thompson's been in and out of the lineup. He's had a little bit of injuries, nothing too major, but, you know, same thing with Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, he's been in and out of their lineup too. And so they just haven't had a lot of consistency or continuity. And, yeah, it as these guys continue to get older, the more likely that we're going to see slippage in terms of their stats. So,
yeah, no, for sure.
But I'm not as high as you are on Steph, but you still can't knock anybody for taking him even as a first rounder because of the elite threes and scoring. Yeah.
I don't know if I would take him above those guards that you mentioned, Donovan Mitchell. Those 7, 8, 9 guys that you
Halliburton
had.
And Kyrie Irving. I just think that those guys are like in their prime.
Yes.
Or potentially could even go up another gear.
They could. They could. Donovan Mitchell is well, who knows what his where he's going to end up being. I mean, there's been a lot of talks and rumors about him going to other teams and stuff.
This is true.
He wherever he goes, he will still be Donovan Mitchell. And yeah. In my opinion, he is a borderline. I mean, your league only has 8 teams. He's a borderline 8, you know, top 8 guy in your league.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I've kind of went a little down your list with pulling out Steph's name, but if you're looking for, if you want to lock down a category, threes is a big one, and threes kind of helps with points as well. So you could, you know, kill 2 birds with 1 stone if you are that late and you want to pair him with like a Halliburton or Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah,
or something.
And I was going to say, like you said, if you're pairing guards early, I mean, he's still a good one to pair with because honestly, after Kyrie, my next guard on my list is Steph Curry at number 17 for me.
Okay. Yeah. So you probably go into a pocket of big guys or wingmen.
I've got a pocket.
I got
a pocket
wings.
Of wing guys.
I got some wing guys next.
Yeah.
So
who you got?
I got some old timers. I got
that kind of ability with either hand. It's impressive.
Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Jimmy Butler. Those are the guys that I have coming up next on the list.
What about Kevin Durant?
Oh, shoot. I just pulled a fantasy basketball rookie move, and I left Kevin Durant off my pre-ranks.
I'm a little lower on Butler. He's sitting at 25 per game, but he's just played in so few of games, and he's getting older and older.
You
wanna
know what I did? I was going toggling back and forth, and I toggled Jimmy Butler instead of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so
whoopsies.
I mean, Butler is still per game. He's right up there with those other guys, but I just think he continues to miss so many games, especially head to head. I just don't think you can draft him this early. I mean, you can, but you're running a huge risk, and I just wouldn't take him over the other guys that we just mentioned.
No, no. Kevin Durant is ahead of Jimmy Butler. If I were to do my list correctly. And then, I mean, another guy that we haven't talked about either, who I forgot to mention, is Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, he is actually my 10th player, and he's the one that I have above the rest of those guys. So I've got Tatum at 10. I've got Kawhi at 11. I've got Kevin Durant at 12. I've got Paul George at 13. And I'm going to go ahead and throw another name out there, too. Lauri Markkanen. He's a guy that just, we've seen him continue to improve, and he's just this new role that he's been playing ever since he was with Cleveland, and now the last 2 seasons with Utah, playing at that 3 spot, he's just excelled. And right now he's at number 13 overall per game. He's another one that we've got to watch in terms of the games played, but
when he's out there on the court, he's a fantasy gem. I mean, he does everything.
Yep.
Percentages are there. He gets the line. He can shoot the 3 ball. He grabs rebounds. He's
couple
got
assists.
A couple assists a game, almost a steal a game, and half a block a game. So,
yep.
And he doesn't turn the ball over a ton.
Very good point. Yep.
So he's
up there for me too. He's up there with those guys.
Yep, absolutely he is. He's there. He's right there too. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a good call. Lauri Markkanen. Is that who you got at 14 then? Or is he 15? Oh, okay, 14?
He's 14, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great value pick midway through the second round. Getting if you start your draft with like a Luka Doncic and then you come back with Lauri Markkanen, who gives you small forward, power forward, another. Now he doesn't give you the center eligibility, but he gives you a big man who can do some center stuff. It's not a bad way to start a draft.
Speaking of centers, next two guys on my list, I'm going to go ahead and just fire them off if you don't mind.
No.
I've got Chet Holmgren.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, I've talked a little bit about him. We've talked about him we've talked about him all season mm-hmm. long. And for good reason. He's been awesome. He is right now at number 23 per game and only getting better. I mean, he's a rookie. Obviously, he's got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as his teammate. So he's always going to have a little bit of, you know, slippage and usage, you know, unless Shai's out or whatever. But his role is going to continue to increase rather than decrease. So, you know, he's just going to keep getting better and better. And, you know, he's just like Victor Wembanyama. I mean, he blocks a ton of shots. He can shoot threes. He's obviously a scorer. He can rebound. Awesome percentages. Incredible percentages. 53% from the field on 12 attempts per game. Awesome foul shooter, 80% on almost 3.5 attempts per game. So, and low turnovers. So, again, he's another guy that just really doesn't hurt you anywhere and absolutely boosts all 9 categories. So I love him. I love his upside. And then another guy that I have right with him in my rankings is Kristaps Porzingis. And this one is definitely more of like a roto-ish kind of play because we know he always misses games. He gets hurt a lot. And now that he's on Boston, he just sits a lot of games. They just don't need him, you know?
No, they're so good. They're so good. I 100% agree with both those guys being right there. Awesome value for a big guy if you miss out on those top and you double down with some,
that's just
some
it.
Point guards.
Exactly. It's exactly. Great, I think Porzingis is like the perfect like third round guy for especially if you do go like guard wing, come back maybe late second, early third round. And grab yourself Porzingis.
Yep.
And at least, I mean, you're running the risk of he's going to miss games and stuff, but at least you know that in the games that he plays, you're going to get those elite numbers. He's always been an awesome per game guy, and he has been a great fit with the Celtics. So,
yeah, I mean, his numbers don't lie. I mean, 51% from the field, 86% from the line, almost 2 threes a game, 20 points, almost 7 rebounds. 2 assists a game, almost a steal per game, and almost 2 blocks per game.
Yep.
I mean,
love him.
He's great. He's great. But again, I mean, he's on one of the deepest and best teams in the NBA, and he's just availability again is everything. But with him, you have at that point, and like you said, late second, early third, or mid third. I mean, you're getting a potential when healthy and on the court, a top guy in fantasy. But like you said, per game, he's always awesome.
Yep. And I mean, we said it. There's going to be a lot of big men throughout the draft, so you just take other guys with them. You know, guys who are maybe a little safer, guys that are going to be more dependable in terms of like being available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, there's a ton of good big guys still that we have not even talked about. We're at pick 118 right now.
Yeah, well, that was my top 16. And then I mentioned I have Steph at 17.
Steph at 17, okay.
I'll stop there if you had some other guys that you wanted to kind of mention here.
I mean, a lot of the guys that after those guys that you just talked about are pulling some of the older guys out, you know, they're, you know, Damian Lillard's there, your boy, Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
He's a guy that's right there too.
Those are literally my next two guys, Dame and VanVleet.
Yeah. I mean,
18 and 19.
Yeah. Dame, VanVleet right there. I mean, there's of with the upsurgence of the young, talented players a lot. I think the next couple of years in fantasy basketball drafts, the value that you'll get through pick or first through like fourth round is going to be huge. There's so much talent and potential in the first 3 to 4 rounds in fantasy moving forward for the next couple of years until some of these old guys that we talked about are retiring.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just the first few rounds of the draft are going to be so much fun.
They are.
So, and then another guy, probably, where are we at right now? 19 or 20?
Yeah, that was my top 19.
Top 19. I made a trade for this guy. I don't know if I would draft him unless I was building a team that was going to be punting free throw percentages. But at this point, you got to start looking at a guy like Giannis sometime soon. I traded for him. I don't want him in fantasy basketball. That's just my opinion.
It's not just your opinion.
He's a great real life player. Fantasy wise, he's not a great. He's, I think per game he's 24th, I believe. So
he is, yeah. He's actually had a really good year this year compared to last year. Last year he sucked ass.
Yeah, I would rather have Domantas Sabonis
in terms of percentages and stuff. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I would rather have Domantas Sabonis or Miles Turner or even Karl Anthony Towns.
Here's the other thing about Giannis, and I'll give him credit that he's played in 70 games so far this season, but he's another guy that's at risk to miss a lot of games. Milwaukee tends to rest him, especially on like back-to-backs and stuff like that. So he's another one that I have concerns about in terms of availability. But like you just said, man, like he just torpedoes your free throw. And, you know, he's always been high turnovers. He's at 3.5 per game, which isn't dreadful, but it's obviously not very good either. And yeah, man, in 9-cat, he's just kind of a poison pill. I don't really like him, like you said, unless you are specifically punting free throws right out of the gate.
Yeah, but with the guys that we've talked about in the top 19, top 20, they can all shoot free throws. So where does Giannis fit in on a team? You know, he's a great player, but it's tough to fit him in on a team unless you're going to try to hide his torpedoing of free throws that later on in the draft. But I mean, then it gets too risky.
I just don't think you can. Yeah. It gets too risky, and I don't really think you can hide him. I think what it does is it decreases the value of your elite free throw guys, because now you're basically bringing their percentages down.
Yep. No, 100%. So,
you know, so yeah, the volume, and he's going to take a lot of free throws. I mean, that's just, you know, what does he take? Over 10 a game. He's almost 11 free throws a game. Yeah. At 66%.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's been worse, but that's still not very good at all.
No. So
he's better this year than he was last year, though.
I guess after Van Vliet and Lillard, I would probably go into another group of big guys, but I would have I'm going off of some outdated information. So who do you got going next, Steve?
So this is where it gets really tricky, and we could probably wrap it up pretty soon because this is all going to be like, you know, subject to change.
Yeah.
Basically, I've got a ginormous pocket of guards or guards / primary ball handlers.
Okay.
And then I've got a pocket of a bunch of big men. So I might wind up kind of tweaking some of these guys, maybe separating them into like tiers and doing like maybe a group of like 5 guards and 5 bigs and another 5 guards, another 5 bigs. I'm going to do something like that. I'm going to go ahead and just read these guys off.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to get me to close to about my top 40. And then I'll end my list here for today. And then anybody else that we want to discuss, we can discuss. But
okay,
the next group of guys that I have are, and these guys are in order right now, but again, it's all kind of subject to change. My big thing right now, this early into it is just getting the names on the board. I'm not as concerned about the specific order as I am just making sure that they're all on my board at around the spot that I want to target them.
Yeah, so you don't leave out a guy like Kevin Durant.
Exactly. Wasn't going to go there, but... so yeah, I've got Devin Booker, James... Oh, I'm sorry. I've got Scottie Barnes, who had a fantastic season this year.
Unbelievable.
Got cut short. Yep. But he's looked great. I love his role. I love him with Toronto. I think he's going to be the alpha there. Tons of upside. So I'm really high on him. But also Devin Booker, James Harden, who I still think you have to put somewhere in this mix. I know he's getting up there in age, and obviously he's on a superstar team.
He's had a good year, though.
He's had a very good year, and he's still an awesome player. So I still think he's in this mix. And then Harden's former teammate, Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
I've got him right here. I've got De'Aaron Fox, Jalen Brunson, DeJounte Murray, who's looked fantastic playing point guard ever since Trae Young went down. And we called that. We knew it was going to happen. Trae Young, he's healthy. He's still in this mix. I've got Anthony Edwards. And I still, even though I don't like him, I'm probably not going to be drafting him anywhere near this spot. I still have him in this group, LaMelo Ball.
Nope.
I just think per game.
I agree. You got to put him there, but I won't draft him unless we're talking fourth, fifth round. Guy, availability is everything, and he has been proven. And Charlotte is just such a hard team to own anybody on. They will, I mean, he's been fully practicing for the last like month, and he hasn't played a game. So he's a tough guy to own. I made the mistake of trading for him. Elite like, when healthy and on the court, but how often is that?
I'm not drafting him at 30, I don't think, but I mean, I also don't think I'm going to let him slip outside the top 50 because especially, and again, it comes down to what did you do with your previous picks? If you missed out on an elite point guard, then you almost have to take LaMelo and just hope that he stays healthy. And again, it's a little easier to swallow that pill in roto games cap than it is in head to head. But either way, you're rolling that dice.
You are. When he's healthy and on the court, he's elite. But, I mean, you said top 40. You won't let him slip past, what did you say, 50?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would put him, like, fifth or sixth round in your league because there's only eight teams. So yeah.
We only have eight teams, but we go 19 players deep per roster.
Yep.
So it winds up being like the size of a like 16 team.
Okay. Yeah. I would take him. I would start looking at him probably if he's still there in round five, I would probably look at him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then there you would be getting a great value pick because if he stays healthy and plays 70 plus games, he's probably going to end up in the top 15 and you got a fifth round guy in the top 15.
Yeah, and now that I'm looking at it, I do think I'm going to break some of those guards up and probably move up some of this next group of guys that I'm going to mention here real quick. So I do have LeBron James and Jimmy Butler at my 30 and 31. You know, we said they're both older. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both coming towards the end here, but they're both still really good per game. And, you know, LeBron's just like AD, like you were saying. I mean, both of them, they've been game time decision all season long. But they've played in the majority of their games and they've played really well. So there are other guys that I don't like to see them slip too far. And then you mentioned Sabonis. You mentioned Giannis. I have them. I've got Giannis at 32. I've got Sabonis at 33. Like I said, I think I'm going to probably move this group of guys up to maybe like around 25. And break up some of those guards a little bit. And then one more guy that I will mention here in this tier of players is Jaren Jackson Jr.
That's
the one. He's had a disappointing season, but we know the upside. We know how good he can be. And I think and hope that he comes back next year with a healthy Ja Morant, a healthy Desmond Bain. And I think he's a guy, JJJ, he's proven that he plays better with talent around him.
Yeah, I agree. Very disappointing this year. But, I mean, that team's been, they're first option, and Ja has been, well, missed 25 games due to suspension and then only came back for, what, a handful of games, maybe 10, yeah. 15 games, and then he's been out the whole year. So, yeah, I agree. I think that is another very good pick. If he slips all the way down there and you're able to snag him there, you're with a healthy team, you're getting a guy who this year, this draft, I believe he went in the third round. So, yeah. Or second
just,
round.
Just 9 games for Ja this year.
Ja, yeah. I knew it wasn't much. I knew he was 25 games he missed, and then, yeah, he came back and got injured. So
I'm going to throw
I agree with you on that one, Steve. Yeah, I think Ja.
I'm going to put Carl Anthony Towns' name out there as well. Just the upside. You know, he's had a couple of down years, both per game and especially in terms of totals. You know, a lot of missed games, a lot of injuries and stuff. But he's a guy we know he's been a number one, you know, type of guy in the past. And you can't ignore that kind of upside for too long. So if he slides and drafts, you know, and again, especially if you missed out on those other elite centers, then you roll the dice again and you know, look at somebody like Towns to take up one of your two, you know, center spots and your big men depth.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he's another guy that, you know, availability is everything, but if you miss out on those top tier guys, he's a guy that can, if he stays healthy, he can bail you out and being an elite center for you. I mean, he will help you in 9 cats, across the board. I mean, he'll get you 2 threes a game. He'll get you almost 8.5 rebounds a game, 3 assists, almost a steal, and almost a block a game. So, and shoots decent percentages too, 50% from the field this year and 87% from the free throw line. So he's another guy that by name alone, if he slips that far, yeah, he's a guy that you roll the dice on and you take him and hope he stays healthy. I mean, Minnesota's a good team, so if he's healthy, he's going to be out there on the court.
Yeah, and again, you know, this is all about drafting your team. You're going to be drafting, you know, everybody at every position. You've got to fill out your roster. So, you know, it's really important that, you know, if you went guard heavy early, you obviously got to start taking big men. So if you've missed out on the Embiids and, you know, the Jokic's and all of them, you know, even the Wembys and the Holmgrens, now you got to look at this group of guys, you know, and you've got to take one of them. So
you can't
ignore that spot or any spot for too long in your draft or you're going to be totally screwed.
No, I agree. Yeah. Point guards and centers, you got to get them early and often. And you can't neglect those two spots. I mean, you can get away with maybe not having the elite wing guy, you know, small forward or something on your team, but you need those top point guards and centers to make a deep playoff run. Just look at your team.
Well said. So I think that pretty much does it for me. Was there anybody else that you wanted to mention at all?
No, I'm glad you brought up LaMelo Ball. He is I'm looking at my list right now. He's on my do not draft list. So another guy that's on my do not draft list is Zach LaVine. I will not touch him.
No, man, no.
And no, yeah. I mean, we touched on all the guys who are rocketing up the board for me that I think we can talk about later is Jalen Williams.
Yes.
I think he's a guy who will be a very good value pick around, you know, 6-7, I think, if he's there. I mean, he is just – his per game is unbelievable, 41. And what most draft he was going this year, what, 80s, 90s, 100?
Yeah, he's not slipping out of the top 50, I don't think, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Unless he gets hurt in preseason or something like that.
Yeah. He's been unbelievable this year. I
think he's got to go top 50.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, those were just some of the guards that that stick out to me that we didn't talk about. And then some other ones. I mean, Evan Mobley, Vooch, other guys like that, which I'm sure probably a little, not too far, too much further down your list of
not at all.
Your next point, your next guards or your yeah. next big guys. And like Bam Adebayo, he's got to be right there too.
Absolutely.
So there's just a lot, Jared Allen. I mean, there's just a lot of guys that, you know, that getting them at the right part of your draft could really, you know, solidify the building of your team.
Since you mentioned all of them, I'm just going to go ahead and get to my top 50.
Okay.
Is that cool?
That's cool.
All right. So I left off at Sabonis, JJJ, and Karl Anthony Towns at 35. So I also have Brooke Lopez, Miles Turner, Bam Adebayo, and Jared Allen as other big men that are kind of in that group. I might break them up and put some of these guards and wingmen in there. But Derek White, who I love, he's had mm-hmm. a fantastic year. Scott and I have talked about him a ton, and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan, I just think he's still so good per game. He's got to be in this mix. We mentioned Desmond Bain. If he's healthy, I think he belongs here as well. You know, teetering on that like top 50-ish. You mentioned Jalen Williams. Jamal Murray for me is still right here as well.
Golden Nuggets.
I like all those guys. The two Bridges, both of them. Miles Bridges, I'm not a big fan of him personally, but you can't argue the production and the stats. And then Mikal Bridges is a guy that Scott and I both love, and we're really high on him this year. It didn't quite pan out, but I still think that there's a ton of potential. And, you know, even just based on what he's done this season, he belongs in this group of rankings as well. You know, this crop of players. And the only other guys left in my top 50 here are Jalen Johnson, who, again, Scott and I, we've talked about him a ton. He's had an awesome year for the Hawks. He's our pickup of the year this year. Didn't get drafted in too many leagues, some really deep leagues with some savvy, league managers. They got him, but otherwise, he was picked up pretty much everywhere. So he's our top pickup of the year. And then, Pascal Siakam, I think still belongs in this group. And then you mentioned, Nikola Vucevic. That's my top 50.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of talent in that top 50, a lot of talent. And, great talk, great list. I can't wait to see what happens in free agency, to see where people go, what people do. The one guy that I was very, very disappointed with this year, who I was as high on as you and Scott were, was Mikal Bridges. And so I got a little sour taste in my mouth, but at that point in the draft where you're getting around 45-50, it's kind of hard to pass on what he can do in nine cat league with the defensive stats that he gives you on a nightly basis.
And the stuff that he did when he was on Phoenix with all those other guys, you know, you can't ignore that either. So, and I talked about it last week. I actually did a booms and busts last week, and he and Cam Johnson were my two top busts. And that whole team, the Brooklyn Nets, have just been a giant disaster all year.
I agree. They've been a mess. I think
made a coaching change that didn't really help things.
Next year, we're looking at guys like Mikal Bridges as upside. When you're looking at 40 to 50 range, you could get a top 30 guy at like 40 or 45 if he plays the way that he did when he got traded from Phoenix to Brooklyn. So,
and I still like Cam Johnson too. I'm not nearly as high on him.
No,
but I'm still not ready to write him off by any means. So
no, I don't think so either. I think the upside is he's young. He's a young guy. The upside's there. He's
I still like him in the middle rounds.
Yep, I agree, 100%.
Good deal.
So no, great talk.
Yeah, no, this has been a lot of fun. We're going to definitely try to get you on again. Like I said, we've got our NBA playoffs fantasy league. We're going to be talking all about that. That's through Fantrax. So shout out to them. We're going to be hyping that up and talking all about it. We'll have to try to maybe get you on to do some sort of a draft recap with us. And who knows, if you win it again, we'll definitely have to get you on and do a recap of your team like we did last season.
Yeah,
and,
for sure. No, it was a lot of fun.
It's always a good time, a lot of fun. And then obviously, like you said, this offseason is going to be a blast, you know, just following along with trades, free agency, the draft, all that good stuff. So that's going to do it for this show.
Time to go, Maryland.
We'll be back again next week for episode 43. Thank you for listening to Menace Podman. Find new episodes every week wherever you stream your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find audio podcasts. Please leave us a rate and review. We greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Pat.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money.
Menace Podman.